The first time anyone really saw it was in the glass of the conference room wall. 8 faces in the weekly status meeting, and in the reflection, only 2 of them leaned toward each other. Maya's notebook was open in front of her, untouched. Jordan spoke for both of them. Every win was framed as their win. Every risk was something they would handle after hours. No one said a word, but the air in the room grew tight. A junior analyst watched how their shoulders lined up, how they laughed at a joke no one heard. The manager clocked the way Jordan stepped in when a question was directed to Maya. Out in the hallway, people started using a new phrase under their breath. Office wife. Office husband. By Friday, the team was already choosing sides, and no one had seen a single text message. Chapter 1. Boundary line in plain sight. Monday started with the sound of chairs dragging across the floor and the steady tap of laptop keys. The project room smelled like burnt coffee, cold air from the vent, and stress. The quarterly deadline sat 3 weeks out. No one felt ready. When Jordan walked in, he did not look at the team first. His eyes went straight to Maya's desk. She was already there, screen glowing, earbuds trailing from one ear, hair pulled back, blazer still open. She looked up when she felt him near. The look was quick, but it carried weight. "You sleep at all?" he asked, dropping his bag beside her chair. 3 hours, she answered. "You?" He gave a short laugh. "Not much more." The words were nothing. The way they fell into a shared silence afterward was not. The analyst at the far desk noticed the pause and the faint smile that passed between them. He went back to his spreadsheet, but the moment stayed lodged in his mind. By 9:15, the team filed into the main conference room. Glass walls, long table, the city's noise pressed against the windows. The Monday status meeting was clockwork. Same seats, same flow, same tight schedule. Maya sat to Jordan's right, close enough that their elbows almost brushed when they shifted their laptops. She did not usually sit there. That seat had been open when they walked in, and he had gestured toward it. "Sit here," he said. "We need to stay aligned on the client updates." "Aligned," the word settled over the table. Their manager, Elaine, started the meeting. Her tone was brisk. Deadlines, budget, client tension. She asked for updates in short bursts. When it was time for the project team to speak, she looked at Maya first. "Maya, walk us through the risk log for Thursday's presentation." Maya straightened a little. The spreadsheet was ready on her screen. Her mouth opened, then closed again as Jordan leaned forward. "I can take that," he said, smooth and fast. "We synced last night. The big risks are resource bandwidth and the client's scope creep. We are containing both." Elaine's eyes flicked between them. "I asked Maya." "Right," he said. "We see it the same way. Maya, you want to pull up the list?" Maya felt the heat rush into her face. She forced her fingers to move over the trackpad and cast the document to the screen. She heard a small shift of chairs behind her, the kind of sound that meant someone was watching more closely now. She walked through the top 3 risks. She did it well. Her voice had a steady edge from lack of sleep. Still, she could feel Jordan beside her, ready to jump in. He did twice. Each time he added detail that made it sound like the plan belonged to both of them as a unit, not to her as lead. Across the table, Malik, the junior analyst, watched. He saw the way Jordan would look at her first before answering a question, like they had already agreed on what to say. He noticed how Maya nodded before she spoke, tiny confirmation signals that matched his rhythm. When the meeting ended, chairs scraped back in another wave of sound. People gathered their things. The reflection on the glass wall caught the exit. In that reflection, Maya and Jordan lingered a little closer than everyone else. It looked like a pair moving in step, not just co-workers leaving a room. In the hallway, 2 designers walked side by side. "They are attached at the hip now," one murmured. "Office wife, office husband," the other replied. "Give it time. This never ends clean." No one corrected them. On Wednesday, Maya's husband stopped by. He worked 2 blocks away and came to take her to a late lunch. She heard his knock on the project room door. When she opened it, he stood there with a tired smile and a takeaway coffee in his hand. "Thought you might need this," he said. "You have been living here lately." She stepped aside to let him in. The room was half full. Screens glowed. Headphones sat around people's necks. Jordan was at the whiteboard, pen in hand, mapping out a timeline. He turned when he heard the door. "Maya," he said, We still need to finalize the client slides. She gestured toward her husband. This is Aaron. He is grabbing me for lunch. Aaron crossed the room and offered his hand. Heard the name, he said. You two seem to run half this floor. Jordan shook his hand. The grip was firm. The smile was polite and thin. We just keep the wheels on, he said. Good to meet you. As they spoke, Aaron's eyes took in the room. Two coffee cups by Maya's screen, both half full. A shared notepad with both their handwriting on it. A scribbled joke in the corner that used both initials. He kept his voice easy. You living here with her too? Jordan's answer came quick. Comes with the project. Maya laughed, soft. It is not that bad. When she grabbed her bag, she noticed the way Aaron's gaze lingered on the whiteboard. The timelines were labeled in their names, tasks grouped under M and J. It had seemed efficient when she wrote it last week. Now it looked different. In the elevator, Aaron leaned against the wall and studied her. You two are really locked in, he said. It is just work, she answered. He backs me up. Seems like more than backup, he replied. Just make sure they see you, not just the pair. The words dug in, even as she brushed them off. By the time they reached the lobby, she had already started defending the partnership in her mind. It kept the project from falling apart. It gave her leverage with the client. It made late nights less heavy. That afternoon, a crisis hit. The client sent a message with red text in the subject line. Scope change, new deadline, same budget. Elaine called an immediate stand-up. The team gathered in the project room, faces tight, eyes on the screen at the front. Client wants a full redesign of the reporting deck by Monday, Elaine said. They have board sign-off on Tuesday morning. We cannot miss this. The room reacted with a mix of groans and stiff silence. Malik started calculating hours in his head. The designers exchanged a quick look that meant lost weekend. Maya spoke first. We can do it if we split the deck. I handle strategy and risk sections. Jordan handles financials and data visuals. Everyone else supports. Elaine studied her. You are confident you can pull that off by Monday? We do not have a choice, Maya replied. We have already built the core. It is a rebuild, not a new build. Jordan stepped in without missing a beat. If you approve the plan, Maya and I will stay late tonight and tomorrow. We will lock the structure, then delegate. Elaine nodded slowly. Fine, you own this. I want to check in at 8 p.m. By 7:30 that night, most of the floor had emptied out. The city lights washed the glass walls in a dull glow. The hum of the air system and the faint buzz of an emergency exit sign filled the quiet. Maya and Jordan sat side by side at the long table, laptops open, slide after slide taking shape. Their shoes were off under the table. A takeout container sat open between them, two sets of chopsticks resting on the same plastic lid. Your husband okay with you working this late again? Jordan asked. She kept her eyes on the screen. He understands. This job is what pays for the life we like. That is not what I asked, he said. She hesitated. He is not thrilled, but he knows this is temporary. Jordan leaned back in his chair. Temporary has been 3 months now. The line hung between them. She turned to look at him. The room felt smaller in the quiet. What about your wife? She asked. He stared at the window for a second. She stopped asking what time I will be home. She just leaves my plate in the fridge. Their eyes met again. For a moment, the laptops, the slides, the deadline faded. What filled the space instead was the raw truth that they were giving the best of their energy to each other and to this room, not to the homes waiting for them. He cleared his throat. We should lock the transition slides, he said. If the board gets confused on flow, we are dead. She nodded, turning back to the screen. Their shoulders inched closer. At one point, he reached for the trackpad at the same time she did. His hand landed over hers. The contact was brief, but neither of them pulled away immediately. A quiet beat passed, the air shifted. She finally moved her hand back and forced a small laugh. You drive, she said. You have the cleaner eye for layout. He watched her profile as she spoke. We make a good team, he said, voice lower now. It is rare to find someone who gets the work the way you do. Her heart picked up. She told herself it was the caffeine, the strain, the deadline. We should finish the deck, she answered. Elaine wants a check in at 8. Outside the glass wall, down the hallway, Malik walked past on his way out. He saw them through the glass, two figures close together, shared food, one hand hovering too near the other. He stopped for a second, just out of sight, and took in the scene. Later that night, alone in his apartment, he opened his personal notes on his laptop. Under a simple heading for the project, he wrote a new line about what he had seen. Not gossip, just an observation that felt important. On Friday morning, Elaine asked for a quick update before her own leadership call. The team gathered again. Eyes were tired. The new deck was almost done. Maya started to speak, but Jordan cut in with an easy rhythm. We adjusted the structure to highlight the client's new metrics. Maya and I stayed late to get ahead of the board's questions. The team will finish polish by end of day. Elaine nodded. Good, I knew you two would carry this. The words landed hard on the rest of the room. Carry this, you two? Not the team. When the meeting broke, small pockets of conversation formed in corners of the floor. Some people talked about the client. Others talked about the pairing at the center of the project. The phrase surfaced again, quiet but sharp. Office wife, office husband. Back at his desk, Malik opened the shared folder for performance snapshots. He started compiling small examples of how assignments, praise, and access were tilting toward one axis. The pattern was not proof of anything yet. It was just a shape forming in the data. He saved the file with a neutral name and closed it. By the time the office lights dimmed for the weekend, the line between harmless closeness and something more had not been crossed in any obvious way. No one had seen an embrace. No one had seen a message. But in the spaces between meetings, in the shared jokes, in the way two chairs stayed a little closer than they needed to be, the boundary was already shaking. And the first person to decide what it meant was not either of the people inside it. Chapter 2. Pressure Behind Closed Doors. By Monday morning, the fracture was visible. Small things gave it away. People stopped sharing drafts in the group chat. Updates that used to flow through the team now funneled through one of two channels. Those who trusted Maya lined up with her. Those who trusted Jordan did the same. No one said it aloud, but everyone had chosen a side. Elaine saw the shift in the morning stand up. Questions that should have moved cleanly across the room hit quiet resistance. Eyes drifted toward Maya and Jordan before anyone answered. The floor felt charged, like a storm waiting to break. Focus on the client, she said. Keep your energy where it matters. They nodded, but the damage had already started. Jordan worked with a new stiffness in his shoulders. He skimmed every message twice. He checked who was included in each thread. The quiet judgment pressing in from the team made him sharp. When he passed Maya in the hallway, his voice lowered. They're watching everything now, he said. I know, she replied, just keep things clean. He almost laughed. That is not how this place works. By noon, rumors had taken on structure. People whispered about late nights, too much alignment, and shared decisions that cut others out. Some said Maya was protecting Jordan. Others said Jordan was shielding her. No one cared which version was true. The perception alone was corrosive. At home, it reached the surface. Jordan's wife, Lena, waited by the dining table with her phone in her hand. She had reviewed his messages earlier, not the words, just the timestamps. Long stretches with no replies, late night activity with the same contact name over and over. When he walked in, she asked one question. Are you sure it's just the project? He set down his keys. His voice came out tight. It is work, nothing else. You defend her whenever I bring this up, Lena said. You never used to defend your coworkers. He rubbed his face with both hands. I defend the project. That is it. But she did not look convinced, and he did not press further, because part of him knew she had seen something that he had not admitted to himself yet. Across town, Maya walked into her apartment and found Aaron sitting on the couch, arms folded, waiting. We need to talk, he said. She stood still for a moment. About what? About how you are somewhere else, even when you are at home, he answered, and how every story starts with his name. Her stomach tightened. She wanted to deny it, but the truth sat too close to the surface. It is not like that, she said. Then tell me what it is. She did not have a clean answer. The next morning, the office tension deepened. The high-stakes client had pushed a new demand overnight, a hard pivot on data sourcing, 2 days before the board review. When Elaine made the announcement, the room fell into a heavy silence. Jordan broke it. We can do it if we reassign the load. I will close out the data piece. Maya will rewrite the strategy line, everyone else cleans visuals and checks numbers. Malik watched them. He saw how they exchanged a quick glance before Jordan spoke, as if confirming the plan without words. It was small, but in a strained environment, it meant everything. As the day stretched into evening, the team thinned out again. The fluorescent lights hummed overhead. The floor fell quiet, except for the sound of keyboards and shifting chairs. Maya worked at her desk, jaw clenched, eyes burning. Jordan moved beside her, pacing between the whiteboard and her screen. They were not touching. They were not laughing. They were barely speaking. But the air between them held the weight of too many shared nights and too many blurred lines. At 7:15, they argued. Jordan pointed at her slide. "You changed the framing again. I cannot anchor the data to this narrative." She snapped back. "I had to. The old version will not survive the board." "You could have told me first." "I am telling you now." Silence filled the space after that, the kind of silence that exposes pressure you cannot undo. When she looked at him, she saw the strain in his face. When he looked at her, he saw exhaustion and something he had started relying on without noticing. "We made this harder than it needed to be," she said quietly. He exhaled, "We did," but neither stepped back. Down the hallway, two co-workers passed the glass and caught the scene. Raised voices, locked eyes, tension that read more intimate than professional, even in conflict. The rumor machine spun harder. The next morning, evidence surfaced. It was not dramatic. It did not need to be. A shared document with version history showing odd hours. A private chat screenshot circulated by someone who should not have seen it. A note from Malik summarizing patterns in assignments and access. Pieces, not proof, but powerful when assembled by minds already turned against them. By Thursday, Maya felt the isolation. People avoided asking her for help. Conversations paused when she walked by. Meetings shifted to tones she could not quite read. The isolation pressed on her ribs like a weight. Jordan felt it too. His authority slipped, his judgment was questioned, his decisions were read as biased. And yet, in the middle of the storm, they kept turning toward each other instead of away. Late in the afternoon, she caught him staring at the project wall, eyes unfocused. "We are losing control of this," he said. "We never had control," she answered. "We just thought we did." He looked at her then, and something unspoken tightened between them again. A recognition, a warning, a dependency that had crossed into something neither of them intended. The team watched from a distance. Leadership watched from even farther. The room felt like a pressure chamber waiting for one more crack. By nightfall, the question hanging over the entire floor was no longer quiet. Had they crossed the line, or had the line simply collapsed under the weight of everything they had built together? The chapter closes here. The next beat belongs to exposure, consequence, and cost. Chapter 3, Cost of the Quiet Bond. The collapse began in the client boardroom, under ceiling lights that washed the table in a hard white glare. Maya stood at the front with the revised deck behind her. Jordan controlled the laptop. The board members watched with flat expressions. They were tired. They wanted answers. Halfway through the presentation, the structure buckled. A data source referenced on one slide did not match the chart on the next. A senior board member raised a hand, sharp and impatient. "Which of you owns this section?" Maya answered. Jordan cut in. "We worked on it together." The contradiction hit the room like a dropped weight. The tension that had been simmering inside the project now spilled into view. Elaine leaned forward in her chair. "Let them finish," she said, but her face had already hardened. Maya felt the heat rise under her collar. Jordan's voice tightened. They kept going, but the flow had died. When the meeting ended, the board thanked them with clipped politeness. The client lead pulled Elaine aside in the hallway and spoke in a low voice. Elaine nodded once. Then again, her jaw worked in frustration. By the time they reached the elevators, the outcome was clear. The trust between the client and the team had been damaged, and leadership wanted answers before the next morning. Elaine called a private meeting for 7:30 a.m. That night, neither Maya nor Jordan slept. Maya sat in her living room, lights off, city glow pressing through the blinds. The silence felt thick. Aaron stood by the doorway watching her. "You need to deal with whatever this is," he said. "Not tomorrow, now." She swallowed hard. "I did not plan any of this." "I know," he replied, "but you fed it." The truth hit her like a shove. She wanted to push back, but she had run out of denial. The late nights, the shared problems, the dependence, the space she had carved out with Jordan that had slowly eclipsed everything else. Across town, Jordan sat at the edge of his bed. Lena faced him from across the room, arms crossed, eyes sharp with hurt. "You have to tell me the truth before the office tells me their version," she said. He opened his mouth, but the answer stuck. He had not crossed a physical line. He knew that. But emotionally, he had been living between two lives for months, and one had consumed the other. "This got away from me," he said quietly. She nodded once, a hard, controlled nod, "then fix it." Morning came heavy and gray. At 7:30 sharp, Maya and Jordan sat across from leadership in a small conference room. The blinds were halfway closed. A legal pad sat in front of Elaine. The director from upstairs watched them with a still, unreadable face. "We need to understand how yesterday happened," the director said. "The client raised concerns about alignment and accountability. They believe communication inside this team has broken down." His tone left no room for misunderstanding. The question was not about the deck, it was about them. Jordan straightened. "The fault is mine. I changed a chart late and did not alert Maya before the meeting." Maya looked at him sharply. "No, we both made decisions under pressure." Elaine cut in. "The issue is not the error, it is the pattern." A long silence followed. The director placed a folder on the table. Inside were printouts, time logs, message timestamps, access patterns, version histories. Set side by side, the story was unmistakable. Priority routes shifted toward them, tasks consolidated under their control. Late night edits made without transparency. Unrecorded decisions that shaped the project without team visibility. "The perception of an exclusive partnership has damaged the team's cohesion," he said. "It has also damaged client confidence. Perception becomes risk when it affects performance and trust." Maya's chest tightened. She spoke carefully. "We relied on each other to keep the project from falling apart. And in doing so," Elaine said, "you isolated everyone else." Jordan looked down at his hands. "This was never intentional." "Intent is not the issue," the director replied. "Impact is." The air in the room felt thin. Then came the question Maya had feared most. "Is this relationship strictly professional?" For a moment, neither of them answered. Not because they wanted to hide anything, but because the space between them had grown so blurred that even the truth required precision. Maya spoke first. "There is no affair." Jordan nodded. "There has been no physical boundary crossed." Elaine's eyes narrowed just slightly. "But emotional boundaries?" Silence again. A silence that revealed more than any admission. When Jordan finally spoke, his voice was low. "We let the job pull us into something we did not control." Maya's eyes burned. She could not bring herself to contradict him. The director wrote a note. "Here is what happens next. You will both be reassigned to separate projects effective immediately. Leadership will deliver a formal communication regarding team restructure. The client will be given a corrective plan. Your current partnership ends today." The words hit with finality. When the meeting ended, Maya stepped into the hallway with her breath shaking. Jordan followed a few paces behind. Neither reached for the other. Neither spoke. The connection that had carried them for months now sat between them like wreckage. She turned first. "This cost me more than I understood," she said. He met her eyes. "Me too." There was no anger in his voice, no defensiveness, only the weight of consequence. She nodded once, stepped back, and walked toward her new assignment floor. He remained in the hallway for a moment, staring at the doorway they had just left. Then he picked up his bag and went the opposite direction. Across the office, people watched with quiet judgment. The rumor had ended not with scandal, but with damage no one could undo. In the end, marriages would repair or break in private spaces. Careers would shift. Trust would take years to rebuild. But one truth landed hard and clear. The line did not disappear in one moment. It eroded slowly under shared pressure, shared nights, and the belief that two people could carry the world together without paying a price. And when the cost finally came due, it came all at once.